Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Molly, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Molly, and today we have an international teacher, guide, and shamanic counselor whose voice represents the voice of the collective you. She has risen from her own pain, abuse, and strife to remember, reclaim, and rediscover her true potential and power. Dedicated to sharing her knowledge and compassionate heart with others, she blends intuitive wisdom with solid understanding, creating a powerful, holistic approach, specializing in the areas of spiritual and emotional change in a light, simple, and effortless way. So please welcome, with a big warm hug, to the Confident Healer podcast, Neelam Nanvani. Yay!
Hi, Sharmila. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for being here. So, I've been asking everyone, because we're still in a pandemic, how's this past year?
It has been actually great. 2020 was great, and 2021 was. I took a break for 6 months because my husband passed away. But other than that, it has been work-wise, it has been awesome.
Wow. I just love how you just put that in there. Because my husband passed away. And
yeah, emotionally, it has been very tough. But since we're not talking that area, but yes, that was, as we go along, we will discuss as to how that has impacted in a good and a not so good way. Right. But yeah, in terms of work, has been going that way. So.
Yeah. So I just want to, dive in from what you just said with, because you're still working, correct?
Yes.
And how... if you don't mind me asking this, so how is the grieving, what is your process to, going through that grief and also doing this incredible work that you do? Like, how do you balance those two things?
I will not deny that it has been very, very difficult. My whole angst has been that people do not understand the journey of grieving. Like on the fifth day, I heard people saying, move on, and his purpose was served, and that brought a lot of anger. And even today, till today, I realize that people do not understand the importance and the journey of grief. So it has been a lonely journey for most part. My physical container has been weak in terms of support. The students have been very supportive in terms of the online container, but they can do only bit being in the online vicinity. So that has been my whole struggle as well. I will not deny that. I did take a 6 months break from teaching. But Paul expired on the 13th, and I had already announced my 6 months mentorship into the feminine. Wow. On the 9th and the 10th, we did the first session, and 13th, he passed away. So it has been very critical. Like 6th, he fell ill. 9th and 10th, I did the first session for the women's mentorship. And then 13th, he passed away. And that is the only program that I kept running. It was very interesting because I nudged Paul to dive into the feminine teachings. He passed away, and I felt a whole lot of guilt that he wasn't ready, and I was nudging him for embodying the feminine. And so this whole distrust in my spiritual path and the whole dispiritedness also came in about the spiritual path, like, and the whole loss of hope and despair. And the whole anger as well came in about people not understanding and me not having enough support to kind of hold me in my grief. But that program was the one which I had already announced, and I had taken resources, and I didn't want to cancel that. And as I went along, I also saw that people don't understand the journey of emotions. It's all about glitter and glory, and the shamanic journey or the spiritual journey is not about bypassing our emotions or bypassing our pain. Right. In fact, it is the biggest doorway. And so that whole process of going through it alone and going through it with such intensity brought to my realization that we've all become actually very masculine in our pursuits, in our productivity, in our significance, and we've lost the importance of the feminine. So the whole Paul's passing away brought a disconnection from the feminine, and yet it took me deeper to the feminine journey because it helped me realize that this is the pathway which people have forgotten. I mean, I realize humans have forgotten to be human. I mean, the pandemic came here to teach us exactly that. And yet, I was struggling with exactly the same factor of people just being present. Mm-hmm. People who were closest to Paul did not reach out because they did not know what to say.
Right.
They were afraid of my emotions and the intensity of it. And they did, it kind of brought forward their own inner demons. And people just didn't want to deal with their own vulnerability. So they moved away from my vulnerability. So this whole journey taught me how important really is the feminine journey. So that is the one program that I kept running. Honestly speaking, I ran through it entire 6 months and the rest of the programs I put on hold and pause. 2 days before the session and I would not know what I have to teach. And I had just grieved in front of students and I did not mind that. I allowed myself to be totally realistic without sitting on the pedestal. They were my holding container of whatever I was going through. And yet through that grieving process, so many things opened up because my own sorrow was in place. I realized how important it is to grieve. It took me deeper to the feminine, in fact, and it channeled different kind of teachings through me during that entire 6 month period. So it was very difficult, very, very difficult, but it also made me a conduit because the cognitive mind did not know what I was going to teach. And yet I was there and it just came through. It allowed myself to be a channel for the feminine as well. The toughest period, of course, then July onwards, I had many other challenges because there were certain aspects of the business that Paul was taking care in terms of website management, in terms of technicalities, in terms of sending a newsletter. I was a more front-end person on social media, connecting with students, writing posts. So all those aspects felt very difficult because I'm not a very technical person and I'm still struggling with those. But I'm yet somehow crawling through them, taking it as a learning lesson, and then kind of trying to streamline things. But yeah, I will not deny it has been very, 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 very difficult.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Sharing my stuff. At the same time, we used to both teach it together. So some of the stuff he used to take care and some of the stuff I used to take care. So kind of it's fallen in my plate. So it has been overwhelming, to say the least. And yet it is asking me a lot of surrender and a lot of trust in myself of the aspects that I know and yet were delivered by him, even the technicalities and all of that. So it's been very, very challenging, to say the least. Mm-hmm. It's tested me to the core in every single aspect of my life.
Well, you're still here, so you're
yes.
Passing. You're doing really well, I think, with all that. That's really, you're amazing. Yeah, I just want to witness that for you, just that resiliency. And I mean, I think people would have understood if you wanted to, you know, put it off for a month or so, but you forged ahead because who, you know, you couldn't predict anything. And I think, you know, it's important for people to understand that, you know, you have to do what you need to do to take care of yourself. That's not a prescription for everyone to like, oh, you know, my husband just passed away, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to keep
doing it. Definitely put on all the other programs that we had announced in February and March on pause. I stopped and paused all programs, even though there was requests for people to conduct those, basically shamanism programs. But the Divine Feminine, since I had committed, I had to run through them. And yes, people would have understood. But the realization as well that, you know, the feminine teachings are the ones wherein I am struggling with in terms of receptivity from people. So these teachings need to reach out. And so from that motivation and that perspective, it was easy and difficult both.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, just, you know, coming out of that and teaching, you know, divine feminism and then femininity and what that really means. And then seeing how people take a certain approach when it comes to grief. And so explain what is divine masculinity and what is divine femininity?
The yin and the yang. The yin, we have two principles govern in the entire cosmos. One is the feminine principle and the one is the masculine principle. The masculine will be the yang, the feminine will be the yin. The yin, the receptivity, the nurturing, the nature. The all of nature would represent the feminine principle in terms of seasons and cycles and our ability to receive, our ability to birth and create, to recuperate, to retreat. That's what the pandemic has brought in 2020, the ability to be in the heart, to kind of be there for each other as a community, to collaborate rather than isolate and not compete. All these facets of love, nurturing, being in the heart, compassion, collaboration, and yet being like the mother who is kind and yet who is like the forest, like the jungle, who's ferocious when it comes to protecting her children. So she's all and everything. The feminine is all and everything. She is this and that. So the darkness of the night would be feminine principle, our ability to birth, receive, nurture, receive nurturing, all our facets of feminine energy, our ability to protect, like, and hibernate, like the mama bear. In the winters, winter is a feminine season. We are in the peak of winters where activity rests, there is pause, there is death, literally or metaphorically death, as in a cyclical way of bringing in the new growth, which is spring and new beginnings. So all these facets primarily, broadly, would represent the feminine. We've got a famous terminology, right? When the woman is birthing, the contract, she has the contractions to birth. So going within and holding and then releasing, that's all part of the feminine way of being. Masculine, on the other hand, is the opposite end of the spectrum. It's all outgoing, expansion, growth, action, the daytime, which the principle of light, where everything is seen, the cognitive mind, the rational mind. All these facets would be the masculine, whereas the unconscious, our shadows, our unconscious, the descent, the roots into the tree, the germination, our intuitive abilities, our psychic abilities, all that would be feminine. Masculine would be rational, in logic, thinking, mental faculties, going outward, taking action. That would be masculine, primarily, broadly speaking.
Wow. And how did you get into this work with shamanism? Because is it indigenous to India, or what kind of shamanism, or like, is it like Russian?
Shamanism is a spiritual practice which exists in all cultures of the world. It's we of course taught the Native American aspect of shamanic work. However, shamanism is a way of life. And if you look at the practices in each culture, minus the ritualistic thumbprint, minus the cultural thumbprint, the core practices of each indigenous society or culture have been the same. And so is with India. So the name is different, what we call as shamans of India or shamans of Himalayas or shamans of Japan or shamans of Nepal or shamans of Native American culture or Australia or New Zealand. The name is different. But right. If you look at the body of work, the essence is primarily to live in alignment with the rhythms and the cycles of nature, is to live from the heart, is to live in partnership with the earth, is primarily feminine, is to realize the importance of cycles, is to kind of, learn through observation and connection to nature with animalism, and considering that all of life is alive. It's not dominion and control of the earth. It's alignment and partnership with the earth. And living from a space of heart and also living from our soul. We've in the modern culture forgotten to kind of live from the soul. We live from the egoic desires of money and, egoic desires of wanting a branded phone, a bigger car, a bigger home. While all that is right, but because of all of that, what have we done to our earth and way of life today? There is so much illness, so much disease, so much disharmony in each and every aspect of our life because we brought disharmony to the wild and to the wilderness and to the nature. We started controlling, abusing, violating the earth. So the shamanic teachings are universal because they go back to the way our ancestors lived and imbibed. It is what is coming back through the pandemic is also simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we... we ran for toilet paper and we ran for groceries. But at the end of the day, what mattered was being there for each other as a community, being there for each other. We were faced to kind of, you know, retreat within and go into our inner emotional demons and face them and slow down the pace of our life and realize what is really, really important. I mean, if we were totally in a lockdown, we realized that what we needed was really simple. It's love and care and basics of life. Right. The hoarding that we do in the name of expansion and growth and the capitalism, that's the whole learning for this pandemic. And we've forgotten. And unfortunately, the moment pandemic subsides, we go back to the same life.
Yeah.
And so the shamanic teachings are all the more important in these times because they kind of connect. They are actually bringing back the feminine way of being, which helps us realize what we really came here for, what truly matters, rather than what we have got ourselves entangled with. And that's the whole purpose of shamanic way of being.
Mm, yeah. So when you started doing this type of work, like what did your family think?
Didn't really matter to me. They still don't understand the work that I do. Because I wear these glasses, they call me, oh, she looks like a strict teacher and she talks like a teacher. And earlier I used to take offense. I used to get triggered by it, but oh hell, I am a teacher, so I will talk like a teacher. So what the fuck? Now I'm kind of owning it. But yeah, they've never been kind of understanding of the kind of work I do. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough to bring snippets of spiritual work to their doorstep in 2020. Like I went to my brother's home and did a small shamanic cum Indian religious ceremony for honoring our ancestors and honoring our roots and asking forgiveness from them and forgiving them for all the choices that they made and the choices that we made. So in bits and pieces, I've been able to kind of facilitate them in their own way. Other than that, it's been totally not understanding.
I mean, it's kind of interesting because you would think that, you know, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but, you know, Nepal and India is... It's very similar with Hinduism, and like
right.
When you're constantly, you know, consulting with an astrologer, when to get married, where to build a house, when to start a business. So, and there were shamans, I remember going to one in Nepal, it's called Jankri, and, yes. Going to one, and, you know, they gave me like a talisman to wear with prayers. And it was always, you know, blended with Hinduism. And so you would think that it's not too far of a stretch because, you know, there's...
It isn't. Because in the workshops, I do draw the parallel between the shamanic way of being and the Hindu and all religions.
But if I'm just saying like in terms of your family, you know...
Yeah, I understand.
You know, like you would think that.
But since they've never tried to understand what the shamanic way of being really is, so there has never been an opportunity to explain the parallels. So I've kept it aside. But yeah, I have seen my sister getting into herbs and medicine, which is also part of shamanic work.
Yeah. Because Ayurveda,
the way of living is a shamanic way of living. In fact, all religions have evolved from shamanic way of living. And just as shamanism is a way of life, Hinduism is also a way of life. And if you compare the Vedic's way of living and the shamanic way of living, they're both same. It's not very different. The cultural rituals and everything may be different, but the core essence is the same. So that's why I said shamanism came very easy to me because it was not very far from what we do in our own day-to-day life. And that's the parallel that first thing I do in our workshops is the parallel that I draw to the people who attend, to the cultural resonance that we feel we are learning something foreign, but it is very close to us as well.
Yeah.
And so we have animal associations in Hinduism and we have animals as guides in shamanism as well. And so and so forth. There are so many parallels to draw upon.
So I want to go into confidence because you seem so confident, even when, you know, if your family doesn't understand and, you know, coming to them, I don't know if what you did beforehand, but like, so where does that come from? How did you cultivate this confidence and then putting that into business? So
I was working in corporate earlier and leaving that was also very difficult. In the first year when Paul and I met, and then when I went to meet him, and then he came here in 2013, that was the time that we started our work here, actually.
In India.
In India, yeah. However, until he was there, of course, we had a lot of challenges and bankruptcy to deal with, and the inability to find money through spiritual work, and all of that was present in his field equally. So what we started as baby steps, like we did drum circles online, and we did burning bowl ceremonies online, and we did tarot readings. He has been a fantastic tarot reader. He wow. read tarot since 13.
Wow.
So we brought in that expertise. We would launch work together here, and I would be physically present for a drum circle or a reading for a client or a burning bowl ceremony. I would facilitate it physically, and he would be there online. So that's how we took a baby step. We started like that. And then when he came to India, we had a couple of friends who kind of put out the word as well. So it wasn't all, but it isn't always 100% confidence. It tests you a lot. So the stretch was that if the universe wants us to do this work, then universe will pay the way. So that surrender had to be brought in again and again and again, because we as humans are driven to the masculine way of living, to who want to control. Mm-hmm. So I will not deny that we struggled as well in terms of that control and surrender. And putting both those facets and realizing participants manifested in various cities, we've traveled as far as like a 15-hour journey in a train to get just two people, and we wouldn't even break even. So there have been those times as well, and there have been times wherein we would have fantastic batch of 15, 20 students. And it would be a stretch because we would do a workshop in a hotel, we would hire a banquet. So banquet would require a minimum number of people. So the stress that I went through was always there, which also affected the health. And I will not deny any of those challenges. Yet there was this deep-rooted belief that we are on the right track, deep-rooted knowing of our path, which kept both of us together in terms of our relationship as well. We were twin flames. We also had a lot of challenges there in terms of keeping it together because of cultural differences. He was an American and I am an Indian. So to bring the relationship together has its own fair of challenges and advantages. So, yeah, one thing led to another, and kind of path we went to an opening I've done. And then we went to the US after the 6 months that Paul was here after teaching in India. And we, again, the same thing, one participant, two participants. And then I would say, okay, one day we had an inner child healing workshop and we were not getting participants through the meetup. And I went to the loo and said, okay, if I am on the right track and universe, you want me to do this work, then you better send me people. I literally commanded the creator kind of energy. And lo and behold, we had seven beautiful women for the inner child work. And that's how it has kind of progressed. And then whenever, anytime I don't have, money flowing in, and we went through challenges, we lost money, we made money. And whenever there would be challenges, we would see what is our own block. So like I remember the times wherein me and Paul would get online on that time, that was the time of Skype, on Skype, and we would kind of do EFT to clear our own blocks for money.
Right.
We would do shamanic work to clear our own blocks for money. We would connect with our guides, we would connect with our ancestors. Before every workshop happened, we would do a lot of energetic work as well. We would connect to the ancestors of that particular city, and we would request them that if this work has to happen, please make sure that it reaches to the doorstep of those people who need it the most. Mm. So these are the spiritual things that we did. Practical things, of course, that there was advertisement and there was Facebook promotion and organizers and all of that. And so, yeah, it was a mix of both, writing articles to magazines and newspapers, the whole gamut of it.
Yeah.
And we do go through, and even today I do go through my fair share of anxiety. But whenever I get into that anxiety, I just remember it to surrender it to the divine beings in whom so I believe the most. For me, Mount Shasta, Mama, you take it. You are the root chakra, you take it. I don't want this anxiety. And the moment I defocus on that anxiety, automatically through the word of mouth or through the work that we've done or the conversions which are not happening, start automatically falling in place. And sometimes there have been times wherein we have made losses. Like we would come all the way from India to the US to do a retreat for Sedona, and we would have three people, four people, not even breaking even.
Right.
But that has brought in a lot of learning in terms of running international programs and claiming our leadership and how to do what kind of infrastructural arrangements, how to draw agreements. Every step has been a huge, huge, huge learning curve in the entire process of 10 years that I've been into this work.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. You know, coming, running a business and then running a spiritual business because you're spiritual, you know, you tend to look a little bit deeper into things and yes. being able to, I don't think it's different for somebody that has, you know, a non-spiritual business, because I think they still, you know, manifest differently. They just say different things, right. like, right. you know, or maybe they're religious or something, or maybe they have somebody behind the scenes, they have a shaman, they hire someone like you to help them like bring in the abundance and the,
I think what matters is our emotional setup, our yeah. mental setup, our alignment with our purpose. I have also felt that the more aligned we are towards the path the soul wants us to walk, then the rest of the things kind of fall into place. So from the space from which me and Paul came was also from a space of being of service and contributing to the collective for regarding our work. Mm-hmm. And that also helped. And we knew that this is a part of our soul's mission and soul's purpose. And we knew whether it is two students or 20, it yeah. brought in the same fulfillment and the same motivation to kind of share from the heart. And that kept us going. And that still keeps us going. Of course, the cultural conditioning of making more money and the relationship that we have of success with the numbers has to be rewired many a times to yeah. be understood that that's not the only fact that matters. And I'm not denying the fact that we are in the orderly reality. We do need that. But the primary focus always remained with was a deep heart space from where we came from, of being of service and helping the larger good, and also being of contribution. Of course, we also learned a lot of practical stuff. Zoom comes very easy to people, but back in 2015, when we wanted to first launch our online program for ancestral healing, we really suffered. We were exploited. Somebody charged us 20,000 for just creating a webinar, 20,000 INR. And I'm like, now it's like $15 for Zoom and $99 for a webinar on Zoom.
Right.
What did we do? How did we get so exploited? So we were naive, and yet we've slowly learned. And now when the time has come for the world to do Zoom, it was like a piece of cake for us, because we'd done that, struggled through that. So we took our own time to figure us out. We didn't have any mentors or mentees to kind of help us and show us, you should do like this, you should do like that. We just kind of experimented and figured it out on our own. I mean, there is guidance right now to take the work on a bigger scale. I'm still struggling to find the right social media person who fits the bill, who is within my range, and how to figure out those tasks, the technical tasks which Paul used to do in terms of upgrading and maintaining the website and uploading videos. And I'm very pathetic at that. So I'm still finding my right support where I can delegate and figure things out. So there is a second phase of the challenge which I'm going through right now. And yet I'm seeing that the more I believe, and you know, in India, it is very funny that people look up to Westerners. So after Paul passed away, the first lack of belief in myself which came was people, he was a white man, he was senior to me, he was 16 years older than me, so people came for him, and who will come for me? I'm very straightforward and direct and blunt and aggressive, and I cut the bullshit, and I'm give people on their face, and I'm angry, and I'm this. Who will come for me? And then that required again breaking that myth and believing in myself and trusting that again, if this is the path that I'm supposed to share and bring these teachings to the world, people who now resonate with me will come.
Yeah.
And to bring that trust. And the first batch of which I launched in July for the first basic shamanism that was without Paul. So of course, all the prayers and the healing and the backend work and the this and that happened. But it required for me to deeply believe in myself and not betray my own self. And I had a fantastic batch of 38 people in that first batch.
Wow.
So yeah, it has been another round of being tested and tried and, you know, kind of relaunching myself all over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not just, you know, confidence and believing in yourself, but it's, you know, when you're faced with, oh my God, this is not going to pay for, you know, digging deep and finding, that resiliency, you know, and I feel like that's coming from, you know, especially for us as women, you know, just from that womb space. Just
absolutely, absolutely.
Fine.
So it is important to also to allow the vulnerability, because Although there were people who did not, who ran away from my grieving journey, but there were so many women who came and connected with me internationally and nationally as to expressing my realness and not sitting on the pedestal. That also hit a chord that there is a woman who has been a successful teacher and yet can be so real and vulnerable and is not hiding her pain or victimhood. And so, and yet putting herself out there, even if it is reflected in my face that I'm sorrow-filled or, you know, my eyes are filled with sadness and I'm not fully alive. And yet I am there expressing my vulnerability and, you know, walking the talk, sort of.
Right.
And that also brought in a lot of connection from women who could relate to my journey and pray for me. And that has also helped build an online sort of, not exactly a community, but resonance and friendships with people who kind of still vouch for my work and bring people to my doorstep. So it's being, I think, being our true self in every way is an important aspect of the journey, while allowing ourselves to upgrade the skill set required of reaching out, putting out our voice, putting out our word, putting out experiences out there, allowing ourselves to be seen, our work to be seen, is a huge step forward as well for many spiritual and budding or all kinds of entrepreneurs, because many times we hit with our self-worth. Am I good enough?
Right.
Am I not good enough? And so we kind of second guess our own self. So trusting and believing in ourselves and putting our work out there and upgrading and finding the right resources. There are many free resources available for putting ourselves out there in terms of YouTube, in terms of blogging, in terms of just writing a post on Facebook or whatever. So putting out our work, I have felt is very, very important in allowing ourselves to be seen, to be heard, to be noticed, instead of playing small. And whatever are those barriers for self-love, we need to kind of work towards those, because if we are really passionate about something, would we really not be in honor of our own being?
Yeah.
So confidence comes from believing in ourselves to that extent that this is who I am, this is my core, and this is my work, and this is what I'm passionate about, and this is what aligns with my soul. And then you find ways to take baby steps to put yourself out there. And that's the barometer for success, if that is the right word, I should say.
Yeah, I think that, I think, you know, especially, you know, if in America, it's not about taking small steps, it's taking big steps, right? It's like, no, you got to take that leap, you know? And I think that's what, you know, for me was just so foreign and scary, because I had a lot of confidence issues. I was like, I don't know, like, what are people gonna think? And, you know, so I was always very, very hesitant to, like, let people know what I was doing. I was very hesitant to do that marketing for myself. I could promote anybody, but when it came to myself, so yeah, I mean, I took so many baby steps, but then, like, went back, you know, retreated. So I think, yeah, I think definitely, you know, recognizing that everyone has a resiliency, right? And I think people tend to compare that to other people. Well, you know, well, look how resilient, you know, they're more resilient than me because they're making X amount of money, you know, and they've got
the whole problem, that comparison.
Yeah.
Rather than your own potential.
Right.
I have always received guidance past 2 years on my work to reach out to a larger audience. And yet I'm struggling right now for putting the basics and streamlining it together, because there are a lot of aspects that are kind of scattered. And even those are creating an overwhelm, because the mundane has been difficult for me because of my health issues, because of my grief. Only yesterday I told somebody that I'm going to take it piecemeal. I know I need to streamline. I know I need to kind of grow from here to here. And I'm also setting an intention that if universe wants me and my work to reach out to a larger audience, then universe will pave the way and give me an effortless way to reach out to a larger segment of people. Again, effortlessness is the way of the feminine. Rather than struggling, rather than efforting too much. You know, we've been taught that we need to struggle. We need to go through pain and labor and too much effort in order to succeed.
Right.
But the divine feminine, if you look at nature, she doesn't need much to grow.
Yeah.
It's pretty much effortless. And she has her own rhythm and her own cycle. And so if we can remind ourselves, effortless doesn't mean no action, but it's action without struggle. So if we can remind ourselves even about that principle of the feminine, then the opportunities also show up. So it doesn't, the moment I struggle to promote, the moment I am doing a lot of promoting, the friction starts happening, the contrast starts happening. It doesn't happen. Conversion doesn't happen. The more I toil for it, the more I leave it, intend and defocus. Okay, I've done my enough. Now it's, if that has to happen, it has to happen. I can't struggle so much. It starts flowing in because I've stopped struggling, stopped fighting. So the warrior spirit works good. The resilience works good, but it also requires a space within you to create that allowance and openness for us to receive.
And
because if we are doing, then the universe doesn't chip in to provide support. So right. You drop, the universe comes in.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really hard for a lot of people is to be able to be vulnerable, right? And to wait and to receive, because people are like, no, now, now, now. You know, it's about, there was something about, there's a term, I can't remember the term, but it's basically like, you know, just kind of like push through that and, you know, push harder, pushing yourself harder. And that's what, you know, tends to burn you out. So
that's exactly what is backfiring for me in my grieving journey. Mm-hmm. The moment I leave it and I just sit in prayer and surrender and trust, of course, doing to the extent that I can, it feels easier to breathe through my grief rather than pushing through my grief. And everybody's like, you're stuck with your grief. It's almost 10 months release. But there are so many things that it's like, I don't have a moment or a memory wherein it has not been possible, because we were work partners, apart from life partners. It is like 24/7 we were together. So there is, I mean, I go out on a road and I'm crying because this is the road we went together. There is everything that I did was with Paul, everything. And so it has been really difficult. And teaching was always together, apart from my feminine teachings and other than the feminine teachings for women, all the other work that we did was in collaboration and together. So it brings up so much for me to kind of process through and put myself out there.
Yeah.
So apart from resiliency, it's also been to breathe through what I'm going through, to take it easy, to realize, to not control. Again, repetitive. How am I going to do this? I was going to do that. A different work was opening up for me in 2021. I was going to write. Now I can't write because I'm asked to streamline the current work. How will my work transform? All these questions come. And people say, Neelam, you're in control. Okay, hard. Drop. Again, go, breathe. Take one step at a time. Handle the plate which is there in front of me, the workshop which is in front of me. Deal with that. Then go to the next. And then kind of ask for guidance. And then sit with the chaos. We always want solution, but the gem of my grieving story has been to kind of be with the chaos. Only yesterday I wrote that when chaos finds its space enough, then it becomes creative expression. But we fight the chaos, we run to fix it and control it, and then we don't have answers, and then there is more mess created. So that's the whole life problem.
I think all that would be a lot. That'd be really hard for someone to be like, well, I, you know, because that's what you want to avoid is chaos. Like, oh, there's chaos. Let me just walk out into the other room where there's no chaos. But to dive in, you know, I think that, you know, that takes a lot of like courage and like, again, like grit, right? But that's the only way out. You can't, I mean, it just, you, if you know it, it's chaotic, you know, you can't just like push it under, because it just bubbles up back up. So you have, the only way out is through. So it doesn't matter what it is, like chaos, grief.
The healing mantra to release doesn't work, but the only way to heal is to feel it fully.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then that, I think that, you know, that's been a really hard for a lot of people, especially these past 2 years when everyone had to be locked down and everyone's lives, you know, changed, you know, on a, just like with a snap of a finger. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to go within because it's a little scary. That journey can be really scary.
Road. That is why the feminine feels scary, because it requires you to go within.
Right.
The masculine way of being keeps you busy with work, with outer world, with everything that is outside. And that's where the feminine comes and says, hey, you have to retreat, go within. Like when you go within, you are forced to face what's stuffed up deep inside. So ascension journey is masculine, and the descent, which we go within our unconscious, within our pain, and dive deep into our psyche and our emotions and in our gunk or in our baggage, that's a scary journey. That is how people find the masculine way of being pretty easy, because it takes you away from that pain. Who loves to feel pain? Nobody wants to feel pain. Or nobody wants to feel chaos or grief. It's everybody wants to feel joy. And so that's why we mask, and that's the whole problem.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I think you've definitely, just talking about your journey, demonstrated a lot of, handling in your own way, the best way you can, chaos, you know, and whatever way that is to, you have to go through it. You have to admit that this is here. It's not going to go away. If I continue to ignore it, it's only going to get worse. You can ignore it for, 10 years, but it comes out. It comes out in so many ways. So just, thank you for modeling that and just being so candid with me and sharing that, because, a lot of leaders in their industry, they don't really want to share maybe like 10 years from now, but to be able to, just be real, so I just appreciate that. And I think, the audience will appreciate that too. Just seeing, hearing you and watching you, experience and talk about the things that have been going on this whole year for you, which is like, I can't even imagine what that's like. I mean, that's all in one year plus because India went into lockdown like in what, May, for, it got really intense there. Especially like,
I forgot to mention I got COVID in April. And oh, it was really bad. The add fuel to fire.
Oh my God. Running a business is hard, but then when and then grieving, losing, your spouse is hard. But then when that spouse was also part of the business, and they did certain things, you both had different roles. That's just, it just boggles me. And I see and feel, just how powerful you are and how deep, you've gone into to be able just to sit here and wake up in the morning, early in the morning. And and speak about it, So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Do you have any parting words of wisdom to our budding healers
An example of 2020 is coming to mind when the pandemic hit. Paul was in the US and I was in India. And I was going through my own breath work and some other kind of emotional grief had come up then for me with regards to distance and all of that. And the kind of grief work is called rebirthing breath work, and it takes you deeper into your own lungs and receiving. And of course, March and April, the lockdown were at its peak internationally, and people were going through tumbling down of businesses and all of that. And a lot of free work was happening. And the biggest anxiety that hit me, that who will now pay for our workshops, because people are having trouble even finding bread and butter. And that is the time wherein I had to kind of really work through that receiving of mine, of letting go of that limited thought process and kind of rewire the thinking that it's an abundant universe for everybody, not just for me, not just for them. So the right people will come our way. And in May, we had announced our first shamanism workshop after the pandemic of 2-3 months. And again, because of the same process of allowing myself to believe, allowing myself to breathe deeply and open up my receiving and trust and surrender, we again had a fantastic batch. And in fact, 2020 has been a very strong work-wise, business-wise year, wherein a lot of people went through a lot of up and down in terms of their own businesses. But luckily, me and Paul, because of our strength of the spiritual practices and the internal and the inner work that we do, we had a great year in terms of work. In fact, majority of my new workshops birthed during those phases. I brought feminine to the doorstep of men. I did my 6 months, launched my 6 months mentorship into the feminine. Yeah. I trained teachers for the feminine. I launched a program on father wound. Paul completed writing his River of Life book and started his Church of the Wheel programs. And so a lot of new work was also birthed through the chaos and through the need of the hour. So that is also very important, that everything is a portal. Grief is a portal. It is sacred. Our retreat is a portal. Everything, chaos is a portal. And if we just sit with it and be with it and try not to fight it, and if we have the courage to enter it, a lot of things unfold within our space, whether we desire it or not. And so that's my whole message for everyone, to just be with our emotions and not shun them in the name of being strong. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be weak as well.
Thank you. Very, very wise words of wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you can reach Neelam on her website, which is, I'll put in the show notes, but it's shamanic-vision.net. Of course, it's www, and all that will be on the show notes too. So thank you so much for being with us here today, Neelam. It was an amazing conversation, and just thank you for opening up and just being real. So let's, with a big warm hug, give me a hug.
Virtual activity. Thank you. And thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Sharmila, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is The Confident Healer with Sharmila Mali, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening and watching. Thank you for listening. Please go to www.theconfidenthealer.net. This is the best place to listen to the podcast, and it's also where you can go and find the guest info in the show notes. Remember, there are three important actions to take to help grow the show. Invite others to listen, leave a review if you learned something new, or if you just learned something, and by leaving a donation. You can find the links on theconfidenthealer.net. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.